All right. Hi, everybody. I think I can go on a little bit more here before this evening's webinar activities. We're on number 23, program 23 in the externalization of the hierarchy. And we do recall, don't we, that Master DK was emphasizing the fact that the neutral nations, maybe it refers to our neutrality in the act of discipleship, were not helping at all with the danger that the Axis powers presented to freedom in the world. Now, I looked this up a little bit more. These were some of the neutral nations who stayed neutral, and they were Andorra, Ireland, that is the Republic of Portugal, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, and the Vatican. They stayed neutral to the end. However, Portugal, Sweden, Colombia, which was not mentioned in the first, and Switzerland all helped the Allies by supplying, quote, voluntary brigades to the United Kingdom. While this is interesting, Spain, which had its experiment with fascism under Franco, Spain avoided the Allies in favor of the Axis. So now, when he talks about these neutrals, we know of whom he is speaking. Portugal and Spain being so close, Portugal did contribute later, as did Sweden and Switzerland, and Spain went against that trend. Now, here we are at number 23. I just have to find it here. And here it is. All right. So this will probably be simply an hour program or so. In all the above, you have an attempt to portray the wider vision with its demanded practical effort and also an indication of the larger possibility which faces humanity. It is in truth for this that the Allies fight, and against which Germany today rallies her war machine, the larger possibilities which face humanity. And this is exactly what Germany, under the influence of her nefarious sponsors behind the scenes, was trying to stop. Probably the German people themselves would not attempt to stop this, but they had, because of their vulnerability, their impressionability under Pisces, they had fallen victim to the glamour-producing Black Lodge. So, what now of the immediate present, and what can the individual do to aid the cause of humanity and arrest the tide of evil? Well, that's a question to which we can address ourselves always and now as well, even though the evil, though recognizable, is somewhat latent, less objective than it was in the previous phase two of the Great War. If he is fighting already upon the side of the forces of light and of the Allies, he knows his destiny and service. Okay. But what of those who question what they can do and yet are eager to see clearly and to play their part with right vision when right vision is theirs? All right. So DK is trying to, let us strengthen those who are uncertain and undecided. That is his attempt here. So a number of points emerge here. People who really want to contribute, what can they do? They are eager to see clearly and play their part when right vision is theirs. And so Master DK is attempting to provide them with some of that right vision which they which they crave. Okay, first, eliminate prejudice, national pride, and religious antipathies out of your consciousness. Okay, eliminate these things. The past mistakes of the Allies, as history gives them, are facts which they themselves do not deny. They stand not alone in selfishness, for the same faults taint every national record. But they stand today for a new spiritual order based on a desire for synthesis, right methods of government, and the good of the people. So they have corrected some of their more obvious faults to which they have admitted, during the Middle Ages and, well, let's say, especially then, there were dire happenings in all of these countries, especially under the spell of religion and the wars which it promoted. The unhappy past of all nations is today used as an alibi by those who do not choose to shoulder responsibility or to sacrifice anything for the cause of humanity. A recognition of our own shortcomings and a spirit of tolerance and forgiveness are needed by all. And in this case, the word forgiveness does seem to mean pardon. But he has told us of a more fundamental meaning of that word. Now, the next point. See, we're asking, those who are uncertain in their sight and their understanding, but what can they do? And if a clarified vision is theirs, refuse to be afraid of any results of right and positive action. Okay. Fear lies behind much of the dissenting attitudes today, and fear kills truth, hides the vision, and arrests right action. Well, this is a truthful statement, and we can put up high ideals as the reason that we do not want to join in these in sacrificial action, but it's not entirely true, is it? There are lower motives, fearful motives. The great leader of this Christian era has warned us not to be afraid of those who kill the body, but to fear only those who seek to kill the soul, to disrupt and distort and stunt the consciousness. The forces of aggression are slowly and ruthlessly killing out love and hope, qualities of the soul in the conquered lands and in Germany. Well, this is aggression against the soul, is it not? These are soul qualities. When love and hope are gone, there's not much else. Major incentives to goodness are gone. So the forces of aggression are slowly and ruthlessly killing out love and hope, qualities of the soul in the conquered lands and in Germany. This, along with the great humanitarian plea, is sufficient to impel all men of goodwill to take up arms on the side of the forces of light. Now, look, he is, how interesting. The time for fighting has come. He's counseling, the taking up of arms, the counteraction. He's in the 1930s, he even wanted all criticism to cease. And now much further steps are being counseled. I would commend this to your imaginative attention. The huge humanitarian suffering and the killing out of love and hope. It mobilizes all true people of goodwill. And he would commend this to our imaginative attention. To put it even more practically, I would ask you if you would care to have your children subjected to the educational processes of the Nazi regime, with its crushing of all humanity, its emphasis on pride of race, and its cults of cruelty. Well, that brings it close to home, doesn't it? And, you know, we have been told of how the SS trained its members in cruelty, types of cruelty that I do not want to even repeat here, but they were to carry out certain acts which, under normal circumstances, we would be considered ghastly, but they did it because it supposedly strengthened their will, and will was everything. Remember, what is it, that movie or documentary, Triumph, The Triumph of the Will, Leni Riefenschneider? Well, it gives the idea, you know, it's focused in the Nuremberg rallies, and you do see how the people fell under a first-ray glamour which was so thick that it could not be penetrated. So, crushing out of all humanity, extreme brutality, and looking upon the normal virtues of kindness and love as effeminate and to be avoided at all costs. Can you then stand idly by or simply resort to prayer and talk about the beauties of peace when the little children in the appropriated lands come under the soul-killing system of Germany? Refuse then, in their interests, to be afraid, because Master DK is really countering here the understandable fear that arises when you would be facing the war machine of Germany, which was probably at the time the most developed war machine. The Allies had by no means caught up with it. And maybe that was true at first with the war machine of Japan. And it took a while. It took a while for Russia to switch into high gear in the production of tanks and guns, various instruments of war, and the same for the United States, because they had not suspected that things would descend into such a into such danger to them. So, refuse to be afraid. That's of any results of right and positive action, because fear is, of course, natural. And the first one again, eliminate prejudice, national pride, and religious antipathies. In other words, don't feed the hate that is already abundantly clear, present. Number three, having sensed the vision, recognize the hindrances and dealt with. Having sensed the vision, recognize the hindrances, yes, and dealt with innate prejudice and fear, it will then become apparent to you in the face of this dangerous crisis what you must do. Okay. Well, he certainly is trying to, you know, mobilize the people, is he not? Okay, so let's see where we are here. Right. And this I want to increase, you know, what can we who are uncertain do, they ask. And he says, well, you've sensed the vision, and you know what is the side of the good, and you've made your choice, or at least you are inclined to make a certain kind of choice. You've recognized the hindrances in your own nature and in the world to a better way eventuating. You've dealt with innate prejudice and fear. It will then become apparent to you what you must do. Okay, so this is you know, there are so many subdivisions here. There are various so here's the vision part. Recognizing the vision. This is the key and first factor. The first factor of recognition. Okay. Oops, sorry. This is the word first. Okay. Then maybe there's a second one here. We would certainly find it by reading. By reading through, okay. And when the vision of the new world order has been grasped, the next step, okay, step two, will be to study the factors which are hindering the materialization of the vision. Okay. Study these factors. Recognize the vision. Study what's preventing it from happening. And now, the final section here. Okay, so we have studied the vision, or recognized, let's say, recognize the vision, and studied the hindrances. Now, what else? And that's where we had gone back for a little reflection. Eliminate national prejudice, don't be afraid, and having dealt with the vision, sense the vision, recognize the hindrances, and dealt with innate prejudice and fear, then it will become apparent to you what you have to do. So the summation of this series of requirements is that you will know what to do. And he says, look, it's not for me to tell you what it is. That, of course, is the that's the punchline here. You've done the necessary things. Now you will know. The details are for you to decide. The method which you must employ will become clear to you. The humanitarian issues will become increasingly plain to you. You will then range yourself on the side of the forces of light and will uphold the hands of those who are fighting for world peace and security preparatory to the inauguration of the New World Order, This you will do with no thought of self. You will face life truly and sincerely with a fully dedicated sacrifice of time, self, money, and, if need be, of life. You will realize dynamically what the attitude of the passive onlooker, that the attitude of the passive onlooker is not that of the agent of the forces of light or of the lover of humanity. Yes. Quite, see how he led us into that and this kind of exhortation. So we have basically, sensing the vision, recognizing the hindrances, overcoming prejudice and fear, and then doing what is indicated within you. Yes. And let's say all this is given to those who have not yet really decided where exactly they stand between the two forces, though I would say leaning towards the allies, I would say so. Yes. Okay. Now, there's another factor here. You will also, and this is a very important one, I think, because we've talked very much about what it's like to fight with full force, full skill, and yet not to hate. As a matter of fact, hatred will reduce the effectiveness of the warrior. You will also learn to keep your mind free from hate, refusing to hate the deluded sinner even when imposing upon him the penalty of his sin. Certainly this is very sound advice, and it is repeated a number of times because DK, while enjoining the somewhat neutral people to fight and the neutral nations to fight on the side of the good, does not want to increase the amount of hatred in the world. Certainly not. That would be defeating the whole hierarchical method and purpose. Hate and separation must cease, and they will cease as the individual aspirant stamps them out in his own life. The great error of the neutrally minded and of the pacifist is his refusal to identify himself constructively with human pain. Now, that's a very interesting statement. So measure yourself against it. All kinds of very unhappy things are going on in the world. People are being annihilated. They're being kidnapped. They're being violated. Do we identify ourselves constructively with the human pain they're caused? Even though, of course, some of that may be repayment of ancient karma or even of recent karma, but we cannot take that attitude that karma will settle everything. We have to range ourselves on the side of positivity and thus hasten the period of the payment of karmic obligation and thus reduce the pain. Even when he reacts with violent emotion over the suffering, for instance, of little children in this great war and of the defenseless refugee, And we've seen plenty of that today. People drowning in the seas by the thousands as they desperately seek to flee the impossible situations in their country and are victimized by those who give them boats which are not seaworthy and will not support their crossing. The defenseless refugee, he does not truly care enough to do anything about the situation involving, as it does, sacrifice. So there's no possibility there of real spiritual advancement for such people, such groups, such nations even. This sounds harsh, but is a needed statement of fact. Sympathy, which does not produce positive action of some kind, becomes a festering sore. And that's not a pleasant contemplation, is it? A rotten sore? No, it is not. So, let's just say caring enough is required. And he does not yet care enough. Usually when something of a similar nature happens to people themselves, then they can identify. They have a certain barrier against registering suffering stripped away, and then they can enter on behalf of those who have suffered and are suffering the way they have recently suffered. Thus, by thought and word and deed, the lover of humanity will enter the battle against evil. And that is such a, you know, there it is. And it tells you who you have to be. The lover of humanity will enter the battle. Here is Master DK in all realism, mobilizing the forces which are against the forces of hate. With complete self-forgetfulness, he will take up the cause of humanity, hiding not behind the sense of futility and seeking no alibi in a misinterpreted idealism. He will face the facts of the present situation in the light which streams from the vision itself. He will then press forward into the age of right human relations, of spiritual unity and shared resources, with complete confidence, because his sense of values is adjusted. He knows that humanity has a divine mission which must be carried out on the wings of love through understanding, action, selfless service, and the willingness to die in battle if that is the only way in which his brother can be served and freed. You know, somehow this makes me think of Socrates, who was a fearsome warrior as well as a profound thinker. So, you know, he had something of the first ray there, and he did not hesitate to enter the battle on behalf of his city-state, even though he was a great thinker. Now, you know, it's so easy to say, I'm a thinker, I'm not a warrior, but someone as important for the progress of humanity as Socrates took up both the thinker and the warrior, and also, in a way, the mystic or occultist, as he would have these, what do you call them, rapts, R-A-P, raptures, really, R-A-P-T-S, and he was said to stand motionless on the spot for hours and hours and hours as he was engaged with his daimon, you know, probably his solar angel, his higher angelic guide, D-A-I-M-O-N. It's not demon, but daimon. Well, the great people of the world have done many things that show that they are adequate to the task along contrasting lines. And always, if any of this is to be of value to us, we must look clearly at our own state and question it, what we have achieved and what remains to be achieved, and the ways in which we are really helping or not helping. Because right now, a great educational effort along the line of second-ray spiritual propaganda is still needed and is still being advanced. And are we, conveying this quality of the hidden vision to those who could receive it and change their lives, and then swell the numbers of those who think positively and realistically and not childishly about the fate of humanity and the fate of the individual human being, you know? If all that... Okay, friends, you may have noticed that I paused slightly. It looked like I may have been spending 36 minutes talking in pantomime, but I did check that, and it seems that whether or not the image shows up, it looks like there will be words to think about. So that's one of those moments that where your heart falls to your stomach, as it were, and you say, oh, well, here we go. I've just wasted a half hour and we'll have to redo everything. But anyway, you know, moving on here, these are difficult and terrible days. Men and women are needed who have the courage and the insight to stand with steadfastness and to take those steps which are needed, no matter what they may be, to bring the war to an end. Well, we're going to see that challenge as we have to bring the extremities that we can expect regarding the sixth ray and Pisces to an end. Those energies are fading out in the smaller cycle, and some of the worst possibilities must be avoided. I mean, we have seen how dreadfully plutonic the Pisces energy can be in the persons of Adolf Eichmann and Reinhard, last name, it'll come to me, you know, it'll come to me. Heydrich, that's it. These were people who really designed the Holocaust and were responsible for killing millions upon millions, not only Jews, but all kinds of quote-unquote undesirables. It's as if they had no compassion whatsoever, and they were born in Pisces, and Pluto would have had to be very strongly the planet of death. Anyway, vast sections of humanity can do no more than acquiesce in the unhappy fate which has overtaken them. They are unable to think or pray or even to summon faith to their aid. They feel without hope. For them you must think, for them you must pray, for them you must have faith, and above all else at this time, for them you must act. You can understand, can't you, and how fear and trembling of a negative kind had overtaken many people, and they were literally paralyzed with fear. Paralyzed. The work of reconstruction, you know, the forces of reconstruction under Gemini, lies in the future. So many good things happened under Gemini. A great climax in the second ray energy was reached in 1943. And then it seems that in relation to that sign, the Christ made a decision about returning in physical form to the visibility of humanity. And then the reconstruction following the war took place, involving the forces of reconstruction ruled by Gemini. The work of reconstruction lies in the future. The demand today is for the building of a bulwark of defense around humanity. What can we call it, you know, if I can? Great defending wall of a human kind. Now, walls can be truly protective, or they can be psychopathological, dividing one area of the psyche from another, creating compartmentalization so one doesn't have to face what is really in one's psyche, and especially in the less conscious part of one's psyche. The demand today is for the building of a bulwark of defense around humanity, then, having fulfilled every physical plane requirement, to stand immovable. And there is a big occult hint about how one fights these negative forces, the immovability of one's position, and having done all to stand. Isn't it, in the words of St. Paul, and D.K. draws those words to our attention, having done all to stand. And it's interesting because it's sometimes associated with the fourth ray, which is so conditioning in the case of the human kingdom and in the case of the human creative hierarchy, hierarchy number four, having done all to stand. But you must stand with faces turned towards the enemy of the souls of men, ready to do battle, literally and physically, ready to take every needed step to drive the enemy back, and ready to sacrifice to the uttermost so that he may advance no further. You know, I'm throwing in a few quotes from various movies, and one of the greatest mythological presentations lately has been the film version of Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. And you know, this the Balrog is a demon nobody would want to face, but Gandalf the Grey does face him, and basically with the power of his staff, you know, he stands there and says, "You may not pass. You shall pass no further." And then enters into a great battle with that demon as they fall through the air down into ever lower areas of this vast intra-mountain cave. "You shall not pass." That was a, you know, somehow a great moment. And but the little bit of the tail of the demon caught him by the foot as the demon was falling down the crevice and dragged him down as well. So there's no way to avoid confronting the evil factors. No way to avoid that. Not only within humanity, but of course within oneself, which qualifies one to confront those evil factors within humanity. "Your work will therefore be of a threefold nature on the levels of mental consciousness. Your vision of the need and of the future will be clear, inspiring you and enabling you to be a source of strength to all around you. Your faith will see behind the obvious to the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, as the initiate Paul expressed it. Your thought will then be anchored in right action, soul directed." All right, so, you know, this is the threefold method of standing. So on the level of mental consciousness, he's given us the attitude which we must exemplify. Sorry about this cough. I've only had it for 50 years or more now. More, actually. Never drink 6 cups of coffee in a row. I've had it since I did that as a young person. Demonstrating what has always been a characteristic, what is the word? Moderation. Moderation in my life. Okay. Now, on the emotional side of life, you will find no time for idle tears or for vague sympathetic talk, because you will be completely identified with what is going on, and all emotional energy will be directed to the pursuit of every available mode of practically alleviating the pain. The heart energy will be occupied with the task of giving understanding so that there is no scope for the usual emotional solar plexus reactions. This is such a clear piece of advice of how to stand on three different levels when you are really really fighting with the forces of light, the threefold method of standing. Of course, I realize I'm making this document ever bigger by expanding the font, but okay, you know, it gives me something to do, right? On the physical plane, you will not be occupied with the problem of what to do, because every physical effort, time, and personality emphasis will be directed to the shouldering of your due share in arresting the forces of aggression from any further advance. Now think of it, you know, where did the advances stop? They stopped at the barrier of Great Britain, and they were stopped in Russia with an advance upon Moscow, which never was fulfilled, perhaps because of the Davik life in the Russian winter. So by the courage of Great Britain and by the Russian winter, and of course the unsuspected counteraction of the Russian soldiery, Germany was stopped, okay, from any further advance. And then after Stalingrad driven back, and after the unsuccessful attempt to conquer Britain bombed mercilessly by the counteracting forces, and the war came home to the aggressors. Now, okay, so on the physical plane, this is what we have to do. Now, are we talking about what we will have to do as the future comes upon us, I wonder? Who are our enemies now? Perhaps we will discover that the abuse that we've heaped upon our environment will mobilize humanity together just for its own self-preservation. Now, this might mean fighting in the ranks of the Allied armies, or it might mean driving an ambulance under Red Cross auspices. I wonder if Mary Bailey ever read that, because, you know, she was in that war an ambulance driver. I guess that's where you see the Mars and Pisces, which I do believe was in her chart, you know, the exertion of Martian energy bravely for the sake of saving as many as were possible. Okay, an ambulance driver, maybe. Under Red Cross auspices, because after all, Master DK was so foundational to the founding and preservation and energizing of the Red Cross, raising funds to succor the refugees, speaking on public platforms or to groups upon the issues at stake, or participating in some of the national efforts to bring aid and strength to the Allies. You know, what was Churchill's oratory worth in terms of the victory on the part of Great Britain over the Axis powers? What was it worth? I'm one of those people that think it was invaluable, without which a great source of inspiration and of fortitude would not have sufficiently strengthened the British part of the Allies to fight on and to take the terrible punishment which fell from the skies for a long time, including the time when the V-1 and V-2 rockets were raining terror over British cities. Whatever it is, it will call for all that is in you and all that you are, integrated and directed to a sustained, substantial, one-pointed effort. Did you ever think that Master DK was capable of such rousing mobilization of effort? I always find myself inspired when I think of these kinds of words. It will throw your will to good behind every attempt to frustrate the activities of the evil alliance which you may find in your environment. You know, think of the occupied countries and the resistance and the nearness of the lethal powers and still the courage to fight against them, often at the cost of their lives in incarnation, but not their consciousness. It will lead you to work with watchfulness for the good of your own country, whilst at the same time swelling the tide of the national effort to end war through the tangible victory of the forces of light. Ponder on these words. So, you know, to fight against the evil alliance in one's own country and in one's own environment, and always watch for the good of the country, maybe even within the Axis areas. Certainly the partisans work strenuously in Italy. I think not so much in Germany. There it was crushed out. Not so much in Japan, certainly in Italy, which I think did not present as evil a contribution to the Axis, as did Germany and Japan. But swelling the tide of national effort to end war. So the welfare of the nation and the effort to end war through the tangible victory of the forces of light. Now this means that out on the outer plane, the forces of light would have to, through their representatives, seek an unconditional surrender. They did this, and that is what DK commended. Now you may remember that in the American Civil War, the South realized it was losing and sued for peace before they were completely overcome. This was denied by Lincoln, and their requests were rejected, a good thing too. And here, the same. There were those who sought to contact the Allies to seek an early peace so that the country would not be destroyed and so forth, but DK said that the Allies were correct in seeking an unconditional surrender. The goodwill effort of the world, which I sought earlier to inaugurate and synthesize, has passed through a negative stage and through an interlude wherein it was not possible to work actively. So this is his explanation of why during the 30s and reaching that high point in 1936, he so strove to eliminate all hatred and flood the world with such goodwill that the precipitation of the war need not happen, but it happened. So he worked hard, very hard, inspiring those he could reach to inaugurate and synthesize humanity's interaction through goodwill, but it's passed through a negative stage now, at that time, and one could not work there actively in that. One had to battle. The needs of the new group of world servers call it now to into a renewed positive activity. The rediscovery and the immediate sustaining of the members of this group must be undertaken anew. In all lands, they must be reached, if possible, and rehabilitated with wisdom and re-established subjectively. So, you know, it's obvious here, there, what can we say, there, has been a setback. There has been a setback. They must be aided objectively and again inspired to work in order that they may form the nucleus of the forces of reconstruction. When the forces of light have won the victory over the forces of aggression, this is the first point which I would ask you to consider doing. So let's make that a big note as he is advising what must be undertaken. Well, I think, you know, I have not wanted to have as short a program as 1 hour, though, you know, some may sigh with relief that it is only 1 hour. It's page 244. Yeah, well, we're just about to get into the great invocation. 244 to 248. We're about to get into invocation number 2, so it's not really a bad place to leave off, actually, and fulfill the requirements of broadcasting tonight. Okay. Let's see if I can find this. I'm so sorry that seems to be taking a little bit of, here it is, a little bit of time, 248. Okay. And it's not possible to continue tonight further, but, you know, hopefully in days ahead, I will be able to do this. So he's making special requests of people here. This is program number 33. It's about 1 hour. And we're going to begin with program number 24 next. And it's going to be from 248 to X. We don't know how far or how long yet. And nor do we know the date on which it will occur. We just know that once again, he's giving us a list of things that must be done. And so I will then simply make this very big note, the second thing. Okay, because it's going to be the distribution of the new great invocation. Yes, and it comes right there, right there, and appearing at a time as militant as it is when that type of militancy was called for. It was not simply an invocation of goodwill. And I think that if everything has succeeded in the 30s, there's no telling whether an invocation of this militant type would have ever appeared. We don't know. Okay, that's going to be it for the moment, and we will carry on. We have, you know, almost 200 pages under our belt here, And I think there maybe 500 more to go, as well as the introduction to the book, which I deliberately skipped over, wanting to get into the thick of things as rapidly as possible. Okay, let's study hard, let's meditate effectively, and let's apply what we learn esoterically as we can do, being students of these things, so that we do not again come to such a pass that the internal violence between the opposing ways to travel precipitates upon the earth. See you soon. Bye-bye. Lots of love. Many blessings. And let's all do good work as much as lies within us.